Anytime, Anywhere with Janine is proudly brought to you by Sapro International, exporting home abroad. Live, love, listen. SA Commuter Radio.
And you with Janine Preston, Life is a Beach. And of course, it's always a good day when we're in Gauteng and we have a beach nearby. Well, not sure about a beach, but I remember once when my son was young, hello Matthew, we sent him off to Zanine and he said, where is Zanine? We said, by the beach. And we were just kidding, of course, and when he arrived at the car with his bag, along came his surfboard. And I said, where are you going? And he said, but we're going to the beach, Mom. I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to disappoint you. And of course, when we got to Zanine, he said, where's the beach? And we said, well, it's a little bit far away. So we had a good laugh about that. We still look back. He's 25 or 26 now. So he was quite a lot younger then. But we did have a good laugh. And life, as far as I'm concerned, is always a beach because beaches kind of come and go. The weather's usually good. Well, not always, but you know what? It's what beaches are all about. And while I was away this weekend, we went to the Vaal, I met a lady by the name of Ellen Oosthuizen, who was quite an interesting lady, actually. She heads up the PCO Alliance, which is a preferred conference organizer. She heads up the Events Council of South Africa. Such an interesting lady, and told me a whole lot about all the new ways that events are now working and the new rules and all about safety. And I think it's certainly going to make me rethink going to events, because I want to see somebody's certificate of safety. How safe are they going to make sure myself, my children, my family are going to be during my visit to whatever event it is? And we were fortunate enough, of course, to see Elvis in the supper club at the Riviera on Vaal. I have, in the last few days, been playing the interviews of the general manager and, of course, of Shaky Russell, and I couldn't resist playing this one. I'm Janine Preston, and you with Life is a Beach, brought to you by Sapro, exporting home abroad. And you're with Janine Preston with Life is a Beach. And today, life is definitely a beach because we're at the Vaal Riviera Hotel on the Vaal, and it's a beautiful day. It always is a beautiful day in Gauteng. And funny enough, we were at the at an event last night where we saw Elvis. Elvis definitely didn't leave the building because he came back as Shaky Russell. And I was fortunate enough to sit next to Ellen. And Ellen and I just kind of got chatting, and we started chatting about events. And today I've got her with me. And hi, Ellen.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Well, and you?
Tell me, first of all, I need to know your full name.
My name's Ellen Oosthuizen, and I'm also an event organizer. I'm also the chairperson of the PCO Alliance. For some people who don't know, PCO stands for Professional Conference Organizer. And we formed an alliance in 2005. Jacqueline Stumke started it. And we formed the alliance to get the fly-by-nights out of the industry.
So to sort of regulate the industry.
Yes, okay. Yes, to regulate the industry. And we're a professional body. And at the moment, 30 companies belong to the PCO Alliance. We're all small businesses. And we are also associated with the SA Events Council, which was formed last year with lockdown. 14 associations collaborated to get the events industry open. And we are still meeting weekly on a Thursday. We are talking on ministerial level. We've got task teams working on various aspects of the industry to open up. We have been meeting with the government bodies on sport to open up. And really hard work we've had this past year during COVID. And our PCOs, we're battling. Now that it's open for 750 and 2,000 outdoors, 750 indoors, corporates, our clients are starting to come back slowly. Small events, but we're grateful for every event that opens up nowadays.
But now what's interesting, you talk about events. What do you consider an event? Do you consider a concert, a festival, a corporate golf day? What is your sort of scenario around an event? What would you call an event?
Well, event is from a golf day, conferences, is an event, gala dinners, big concerts. They are also on our association, the SA Events Council. Concerts, festivals, it's an event.
And a wedding?
A wedding.
I noticed the look on your face when I said wedding.
A wedding can
also, wedding coordinators.
They are wedding coordinators, you're right. So for them it's an event. For me it's I don't touch weddings. And then, you know, people think because they organize their own birthday party, 50th or the child's first birthday party, the event organizers or party planners. And you know, we've had experiences where party planners get given a tender to do a proper big conference.
No.
And then it messes up because they are not proper event organizers or event managers.
Well, I learned that the hard way because I was asked or tasked to do a car launch. And I did it with somebody called Ellen Garvey. And her and I did this together. And one of the things I learned from that conference is that you need a pyrotechnics. You know, because we had these plans of all these, like, explosions at Empress Palace. And then the Empress Palace guy walks over and he goes, "Where is your pyrotechnics license?" I'm like, "What license?" He said, "You need a pyrotechnics license." I said, "But nobody told me that." And that's when I realized that actually event people such as yourselves are professionals at what you do. And the reason you are hired is because you would have told me about the pyrotechnics. You would have told me about the license, the disaster management insurance. All of those things. I mean, I would have learned all of that. I only learned that when I used to go to the VR meetings at FNB Stadium, because we did the event desks and the info desks, where they started to talk about disaster management insurance, disaster insurance, all those kind of things.
Risk assessments.
Like, wow.
We've as event organizers, we must present our event to JOC, Joburg Operations Committee.
Correct, yes. I learned about them.
Yes. So you've got to have your safety in place. And now with COVID, it's an add-on. So got to have our COVID compliance officer. We've got to have a safety officer. We've got to have our risk assessments. Your EMS, your emergency management services. So, especially when you do public events, like I do with one of our colleagues, we do a gin festival.
My goodness.
And, well, COVID stopped our gin festival, but you've got to have this file, 26-pointer file. If you've got Joburg Roads involved, if you've got medics, who's your medics? And nowadays, venues are asking us, are you vaccinated? Clients are asking the venue that we've put forward, are all their staff vaccinated before they choose a venue?
Wow, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
That has been coming up lately.
Goodness
clients
me.
Want to know whether the venue that we've put forward, are those staff vaccinated before they choose a venue? And then we had just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had an event and the people had to arrive and it was on all the online registration. They must bring their proof of vaccination or the SMS to say they've been vaccinated. If not, they must do a PCR test. And we had the medics on
What's
site.
What's a PCR test?
That is the COVID test.
You see, you guys and your acronyms. I just love the event industry because you've got so many
acronyms. So the PCR is on-site and you get the results in 10 minutes. So, but they had to pay for it. And then some of them said, no, they'll rather go for the vaccination. You know, I mean, really. So they don't want to pay, but they also don't want to vaccinate. So
where
do you want to be? You want to attend the event. So we want to make sure you're safe coming into this event. So, you know, we've got all these new challenges in the industry with COVID and, well, JOC has always been there.
So do you get to select, for instance, if I've got an event, do I ask your advice, rather, it's one way of putting it, on which security company I should hire? Or are there like, because what I remember with the Dome, for instance, they had their own security company, they had people who knew all those, and they would recommend those. But I, as an incoming client, may not have wanted to use those.
Well, some venues allow you to use your own suppliers.
Yes.
So I can come in and I've got to do the jock. And I will say, well, I'm using, for instance, ADT, just the name.
Yeah, an example, yeah.
Because everybody knows them. And they've got to give us their risk assessment, their plan of action, should anything go wrong. I use a medics that we normally use, or we can use, like you said, with the dome. So be it, the dome no longer
exists.
Yeah,
it's just an example, yeah. It's easy to use something that no longer exists.
Yeah, but it's also a pro, plus if you use that venue's medics or safety because they know the venue. And you can work with them. But if you've got a relationship with your suppliers, it's much better. But you must then run through the whole. And these guys, they work at any venue in any case.
And who pays you?
Well, the client must pay the medics and the safety and so on. And sometimes the bigger venues, like your SCCs and so on, they've got that in place. But then they charge that on the client's invoice.
Okay. But you get paid by the client or by the supplier?
We get paid by the client, yeah. We get paid by the client. But we also just get, the PCO Alliance, we don't always charge a management fee, depending how big your event is.
Okay.
We only get commission from the venues, which sometimes is a long way too, but that's our income. But on the jock side, there's no charge to do jock. It's only you pay your EMS fees, the emergency management services.
Yeah.
And like now, 2 weeks ago, we had to do town planning because it was an office block where they had the art fair and we had to pay to get the rezoning.
Oh, my word.
Consent. Because now we're using it as an event building to do the art fair. So there's always something new popping up. But so we learn still after all these years, all these things come up. And we've got to make sure your event is safe. Safety protocols must be in place.
Well, you often see these events overseas, and I'm talking soccer events or, you know, those type of sporting events, where either the fence has fallen down because too many people have pushed up against it.
Mm.
Are those all... do you think they had their VAR meetings beforehand and they looked at things like that?
They should.
Or, because wasn't there also a disaster at Ellis Park where those people were killed at the soccer?
And it's actually, I remember from those days that we became stricter with event safety. And even your music shows, your concerts, you've got to have your COA certificates for your staging, your engineering certificates, your food, COA. If you have a festival and you've got these food little trailers, they've got to display the COA certificate.
What's a COA certificate?
That is the compliance certificate that it is their food safety.
And they've got a food safety certificate.
Food safety certificate. And then you've got again their
and
safety.
And how do you know that
their
certificate
bottles, fire gas extinguishers bottles, and gas bottles are up to the standards?
How do you know that COA certificate is correct?
It's by their local
Yes, but do you check that it's not been copied?
It is original in the... they must display it,
yes.
And it must be updated every year.
Okay.
So their municipal, local municipal, wherever they situated or operate from, must give them their
And you obviously check things like the liquor licenses as well.
Especially if it's now...
Because at the events they have little liquor licenses, liquor places, yeah.
Got to have liquor license, and that goes into our jock file. Liquor license, if it's applicable for that event, that goes in.
Does your liquor license for your trailer, let's say I'm selling cocktails from a trailer, is my liquor license not covered by the venue that I'm at?
Because we're not using the venue's liquor. So,
okay.
Like the gin festival.
Yes.
I've got all those guys have also had to have their liquor license and there's the food COAs. The venue also had to show me their liquor license because some people had breakfast there or they went to lunch there. So I had to put in the liquor license of the venue and then all the food stalls, all their COAs in that file.
And now your venues, do they need to have a certain compliance to have events? So in other words, if they build an event venue, do they need to have a certain number of compliances that are done on their side before you say, listen, I want to have my event, and we'll use the Dome because it's no longer being used as a venue. So you approach the Dome and say, listen, guys, I want to have an event here. Do they need to give you some compliance certificates that says we're compliant to have a venue of holding 2,000 or 10,000 people?
Yeah, nowadays with the COVID, they've also got a show actually assigned to say how many people can they accommodate in that venue.
With social distancing.
With social distancing. Normal, what they could have before COVID, and they must just be assigned to say I can host, say now it's 750. But I can't because the venue is too small. Then it's 50% of that venue capacity.
So now if you're hosting an event, how do you, and let's say we're all watching a band, how do you police the social distancing?
Well, when they set up, they can do little bubbles.
What's a bubble?
It's like, say for instance, well, no, people can't now see, but say for instance, you've got this, you've got a group of say 10 or 5, like a family or friends,
yes,
that allowed to sit together in a group, and then we set 1.5 meters apart another
but does
group.
The bubble have a chair and table,
yes,
or does it,
yes.
Okay,
so in Cape Town, Big Concerts had a on the beach, they had a concert, a proof of concept we did last year. We did two conferences, proof of concept, the SA Events Council,
yes,
and the SARCI did the one, and PCO Alliance hosted the other one. And then EXA and AXA, they did a proof of concept exhibition at NASREC. And then Big Concerts did a music show in Cape Town on the beach. And they built like squares and on like a little small stage ramp. And they built these.
But don't people,
bubbles.
When they go to concerts, want to kind of do the what we call the mosh pit? So, yes. In other words, don't they want to stand? Do they have to sit?
They must stand there where they sit as well. But
so that's kind of how I'm trying to picture this.
Because of the COVID rules,
yeah.
And to host this concert, this music concert, they had to be in their, we call it bubbles. So we set up groups. So you and your group sit in this bubble, say, row. Bubble 10, row 2, or whatever.
That's amazing.
So we just to show we can do events safely, we can open up for safe.
I would love to see photos and put them on the website.
I'll send you some, mate.
You have to, because I've got this picture of...
I'll ask Justin
in,
Van Vaak,
in England, when they had lockdown, what the restaurants there did, especially on the embankment, was they created this kind of tent scenario. It's like a see-through... plastic bubble, and you were served your dinner inside that see-through plastic bubble. They had pretty much started that before COVID for the cold. So they were putting out, and my image in that I have in my head at the moment is there's a band on stage and we're all sitting in these plastic domes.
Yeah. No, this is open. It was open, but you had your sections of, as we call it, bubbles.
That is so interesting.
So it's just like a square built seating with a frame around it, but no, covered. It's not covered because it was on the beach.
But then you also have the problem with toilets. So now, if you remember when we used to go and watch whatever concerts, we now had these bathrooms.
Yeah.
And if you remember, and I don't know if you ever did, but when the girls' bathroom got too full, we all decamped to the boys' bathroom. And there was always kind of very close contact with people. So now, to tell people and to police it, I think is the hardest. I don't think it's so much being the person in that queue, it's being the policing of that queue.
And keeping it clean.
And now you've got all these people, and you've probably got some tiny little helper who's got her apron on going, please, won't you just stand a bit back and please. And all the people want to do is go back and see the concert. So they're kind of really not listening.
People are not listening.
No. And one of the things I did discover in the UK, particularly when we went to the rugby, was that the aisles were always kept clear. There was no question. People behaved. When I came here to FNB Soccer City and we watched one of the rugby games, the guys were all sitting in the entrances to where the seats were. And I said to them, you can't stay here. And they were like, why? I said, because if there's a fire, how does anybody get out? I said, there has to be ways for people to get out, because in case of an emergency, how are they going to get out of there? And I eventually said to Keith, I'm so frightened of being in these stadiums, where I always check my exits, like where am I likely to get out, where am I likely, and I never did the mosh pits because I don't do crowds. Yeah. So I'd always let them go to the front and I sat as far back as I possibly could so that my exit was like right there.
But you see, that's where the safety officers come in as well. All these need to be checked beforehand and you've got to give your safety plan. That's where your safety officers and your safety, the event management safety services comes in.
And isn't it
your security guys?
Absolutely. Now, you know, it's interesting because when I go to an event, I put my trust in the event. Mm. And how many times have I been to an event where I don't even know the event organizers? I don't know if they're safety regulated or not. I simply put the trust of my life into their hands. Mm. And after COVID now, I don't trust anybody. I'm like, I need to see your certificate. Yeah, you can't just sell me a ticket.
No, so that is where all these things, that is where you've got to present your event to say, this is my plan of action should something happen. So I've got my security in place. I've got my safety officer or officers, if it's a big, like a rugby match or whatever. You've got to have more than one safety officer to run around and
absolutely
make sure everything is safe. I mean, we're talking even your duct tape, your wirings, your fire extinguishers. Are they up to date? Are they visible? Is your signage visible?
My word.
Running, where's my exits? I mean, toilets, where are they? Is the safety of the toilets, hygiene, all that? I mean, we are now got to have double sure of all this now with COVID. Because especially if you're in crowds, now that we can have 2,000 outdoors, but
absolutely
still, it doesn't affect the sport as yet, although they added on Tuesday night, soccer. But so, yes, I mean, there we
but
also...
But I also think it's the responsibility of the concert organizers, if you like, that when they want to sell me a ticket, they need to have on their advertising, and here you can click on this link to see all our certifications. Because I think we've got to a point now where we're aware of the unsafe places we can find ourselves in.
Yes.
Because we trust people we don't know. We wouldn't trust our neighbor to look after our child, but we trust this non-faced organization to create and put me in the middle of so many people, and all these people are a challenge.
You know, this past year that we've been meeting about safety protocols and COVID protocols and COVID compliance officers, and you eat, drink and sleep safety.
Because I can imagine.
We, as event organizers...
Oh, apologies.
I just think the whole event thing is just... I think for me, having an event that... Now that I've met you and now that I was with the PCO Alliance a few weeks ago, I have a far better, if you like, respect for why there is somebody like you. Because all the things, if I get hired for an event, it's a one-off.
Mm.
Now I have to go and learn all of these things that you have all this knowledge of. I have to now go and learn, and who knows if I'm going to get it right. Because I can't come to you for advice if I don't pay you. That's not fair.
Yeah.
You got to this point by paying your school fees.
Yes.
You've paid all your school fees.
Yes.
And that's why these organizations that look after me as a concert goer, as a picnic holder, as a, you know...
Yes, no, it's really, you know, where some corporates say they don't want a PCR. They can do it, or the secretary can do it. But that, will the secretary go and sit at job and go through that event file, and then you make 4 copies of sets, take with you... So that's also your expense. Make 4 files, and you must book a presentation. Go to Joburg in Civic Center and sit there, and you must present. Will the PA do that?
Think that the PAs are often put in that spot.
Yes.
Because they kind of said, somebody will say to them, but it's your job. But they never question it. They don't go, well, maybe it's something I need to go find out. They'll go, okay. And they'll say, we're having a golf day. Here's an invite. Phone the golf club. Sort it out.
Yeah, book and let's have a golf day.
But there's nothing other than that. There's no, how are the guys going to get their water? How are the guys going to get fed? How are they going to get there? What is all this? There's no process.
No. I mean, I was a PA. at SABC, 14 years, well, 25 years PI, but 14 years at SABC. I did a lot of events at SABC. It was actually my learning stepping stone. And when we closed our department in 95, I thought, well, this is what I want to do.
Full time.
Work from home.
Oh, no, no, don't.
I never worked from home.
You worked from your car.
From my car and everything. And I still today thank the SABC for giving me the opportunities to organize events in-house. But those days, we as PIs didn't know about JOC. And it wasn't as strict as it now is.
My goodness.
And then, now with COVID, we normally, as a few of us remember, it was 200 or more you JOC. Now they want us to do it 50 packs. How can I go to there for 50 packs? But I have put on the table a panel discussion with JOC. We had it in, I think, April. And I had all these guys on a panel with the event people asking questions. What do you want from us and what we want? So I'm waiting for a follow-up panel discussion with them. But our first one...
I'd love to stream that, actually, because I think that could be so useful for
I'm waiting for the new safety guidelines from them, which they're still busy on. 6 months. Which they're still busy on. And as soon as that's ready, we're doing a follow-up panel discussion.
That would be amazing.
And we had a lot of people online, nationally, asking questions that day. And we could only have 50 in-house at that stage. So there's a lot of event organizers who don't know the JOC process. And a lot questioning the JOC process.
Jeez.
So, yes, it's we've got to be event safety ready, and we've got to adhere to the event safety guidelines for event organizers, because if anything happens, you are liable.
And how do we get hold of you?
Well, you can visit the PCO Alliance website. Yes. And I am the chairperson.
And what is the website?
It's www.pcoalliance.co.za. And we're also on Facebook, the PCO Alliance. And
venues can obviously also approach you to use their venues. And how do they become event compliant?
They also invite us on site inspections. We're actually inundated. We're starting to get invitations again now, after COVID's relaxing a bit, but they invite us to their venues, to site inspections, and they want to host us. Sometimes we feel another site inspection, but it's good because I can sell their venue. If I don't see it, I can't sell it.
Absolutely. And I think that's amazing.
You know, and on behalf of the client, I can say, if he or she wants to go to X venue, I can say, no, I don't think we can go to that venue because we
the
saw
size, the venue,
whatever
the, whatever
yeah,
the place
the
is.
Size or whatever, it won't accommodate your group or the numbers or whatever. And especially now with our numbers not always like it used to be.
Absolutely.
So the social distancing numbers we've got to take into account. I mean, I'm doing a event now, Joburg and Cape Town, and a few said, what about this one? What about that one? And you approach them, they can't do it because of numbers. You know, there's one venue I'd love to do, which the quote was very reasonable for a venue that I did not expect that quote. Beautiful view, but I can only do 50.
Oh, my word.
And my function cocktail, I'm working on about 60. So,
Ellen Oosthuizen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, and it was great meeting you last night at the Elvis show.
Sure, I just hope that we're able to chat again.
Yes,
now
we'll
soon.
Definitely do so.
And because you have so much to teach. Do you know that you're this hive of information, and you know that if you went away and we lost you, we would lose all that information, so we have to have you back again.
Oh.
I'm Janine
Preston.
It's a pleasure. I've been with Ellen Oosthuizen, and she's been teaching us about events, and it's been such an amazing journey, and I'm certainly hoping that we're going to have her back shortly. Visit www.sacommunity.co.za to hear some more. I'm Janine Preston. Life is a beach.
Anytime, Anywhere with Janine is proudly brought to you by Sapro International, exporting home abroad. Live, love, listen. SA Commuter Radio.